Doctor said it went well, but Yes, ma'am. Agnes.
Charles Oakland is going to have a valve replaced on Monday.
Let's keep Charles in our prayers because he has a valve replaced. Thank you. Yes, Chief.
I get my notice about Todd Vye.
Oh, Todd Vye's wife.
Yep. The Reverend Diane Vye.
Diane. Reverend Diane Vye. How old? She was not that old at all. So let's keep Dan and the family in our prayers. I was instructed, Lisa Dibble wanted me to tell you thanks for her prayers, for her COVID. She's coming along, but of course still in quarantine. So continue to keep Lisa in prayer. Continue to keep a bunch of our folks that are traveling in prayers, just traveling mercies on all those that are traveling. And remember in particular, this is not only Father's Day, but it's the recognition that 1 year ago, Ann Binky lost her dad. So they're up in Pennsylvania now. Any others? Yes, ma'am, Mark.
We have Nancy Turner, and it says recuperate from surgery. Last night, I attended our 30th wedding anniversary for Nancy and her husband, and they renewed their vows, and it was just a delightful evening. So I think Nancy has come along okay, but the cancer is always in her mind, I'm sure. So.
What's her husband's name?
Kenny Turner. He was a father.
Okay. Let's keep Nancy and Kenny Turner in our prayers and her continued health. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for those men in our family, those men in our churches, those men in our lives that have modeled for us, not perfection, but a faithfulness in seeking to follow you, replicating your goodness and integrity, faithfulness and strength in their lives. We've been blessed by so many people, and we give you thanks. We also give you thanks that, as the prophet Isaiah would tell us, even if our own mother, even if our own parents would forget of us, the Lord remembers us. So we all have a perfect Father. We look to you and you alone for that goodness. We thank you for the privilege of gathering together as a family to worship and praise your holy name. We pray that today we will do just that. We pray that you'd be with these requests that have been mentioned. I pray that you'd be with Peg. And we pray that you'd be with Charles, with Lisa, with Helen. We pray that you'd be with families that are hurting from recent losses in their family. We think of Anne and the year anniversary of her father's death. And we think of the Stevens and the loss of their dad. And for all who are grieving, we pray. We pray that you'd be with Dan and his family and the unexpected loss of his wife. Be with the congregations that she has served. Draw close to all those that are hurting. And we thank you, rejoicing that Nancy has been walking in good health and was able with Kenny to renew their vows and celebrate that. And we just pray that you'll continue to bring health to her. We thank you for your love. We thank you that when we gather together for the explicit purpose of celebrating the central truth that God loves us, through Christ Jesus forgives us, and welcomes us into his own presence. We gather in your name alone, and we offer these prayers in that name. Amen. If you'll look with me to the front of the bulletin, we do and only can, gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin.
Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit. Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. Look with me to the insert. We will call each to this holy task, our eternal task of worship, using Psalm 3 by a whole verse, and then we'll stand and sing hymn 658. Lord, how many adversaries I have, how many there are who rise up against me.
How many there are who say to me, there is no hope in this God.
But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. You are my glory, the one who lifts up my head.
I call on the Lord, and he answers me from his holy hill.
I lie down and go to sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me.
I do not fear the multitudes of people who set themselves against me all around.
Rise up, O Lord, set me free, O my God. Surely you will strike all my enemies across the face. You will break the teeth of the wicked.
Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people.
Thank you. Isaiah 65:1-9. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their lap both their iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord, because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills. I will measure into their lap payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, "Do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it." So I will do for my servants' sake, and not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there. Here's the first lesson for the day.
For you, that we may choose you in and above all things. For only then shall we have what you promise, which far exceeds all we can desire, all through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever, ever making intercession for your children. And as your children, we are bold to pray together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name,
thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second lesson is from Galatians 3:23-4:7. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we're no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Here's the second lesson for the day.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Father, eternally a Son, eternally a Spirit of love, residing in us. We give you thanks. We praise your holy name, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. After the prayer, as part of my sermon, John is going to prepare our hearts through a song, but I wanted to have the prayer, for this is part of the sermon, and grateful that he was willing to do that. Before I pray, I'd like to say it's really good to have you back, Gwen, and we've been praying for you, and we're glad you're back. Let's pray again. Our gracious Lord, we pray now that you'll prepare our hearts, our minds, to be receptive to your Spirit. Lord, you know that it's only your word that is worthy. You know that all I can do is simply point to your word. May your Spirit enable that to be done. And through all that is done, may we see Jesus Christ and him alone. And we pray in his name. Amen.
There was a time when I swore I never would go back. I was blind to the truth, didn't know what I had. I was running, I was searching, but every place I turned to for healing left me more broken than the last. Take me back to a place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse, where they see me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. Tried to walk on my own, but I wound up lost. making my way to the foot of the cross. It's not a trophy for the winners, it's a shelter for the sinners, and it's right where I belong. Take me back to a place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse, where they see me at my worst, to a love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. Yes, I wanna go to church.
Demeanor. I get really panicked at times. And one of the things that panics me the most is when I feel incompetent. I don't know if you ever feel incompetent. A bit ago, because I was feeling a little sniffly, I thought, well, actually, Sherry thought it would be good for me to take one of those home I don't know how I recover from that. See how incompetent I am?
Don't try.
Home COVID test. I really would pay. And she pointed out, I was getting nervous following those directions. I was thinking, I'm going to make a mistake. I start to panic that somehow I'm not going to be able to step up to the plate and even follow. I mean, everybody else is a whole lot smarter than I can't even follow these directions. I see that often when I go to do something around the house. Because every man should have the inherent skills to know how to fix a car and do repair work in the home. And I'm lucky if I can literally turn a screwdriver and keep it from marring what I'm working on. And I feel as if the powers that be are going to just grab it out of my hand and say, let me do it, boy, and you can't do it. You probably in some area are not feeling competent. You probably feel in some area of your life that there's some way you don't measure up. We are a merit-based society where you are rewarded according to your abilities. Your competency determines how you will fare in life. Therefore, we get in this anxious role of having to put our best foot forward, keeping up with the Joneses, wondering what the neighbors think. Because if they don't think what we want them to think, if our boss isn't fooled by what we try to do, if somehow they find out, or as John said, they see us at our worst, we're in for world of hurt. And in the midst of all that anxiety, in the midst of all of that feeling that we don't measure up, we have the message of grace that comes to us. Because when we are going through that, I don't know about you brothers and sisters, but it's when I'm feeling that incompetency, it's perfectly described by a storm. In Luke 8, we already see, begin several verses prior, in verse 22, Jesus did that which was pretty easy. It only took four verses to tell us about how he calmed the storm on the sea. It's nothing to calm the external storms of life. But then, following that, the passage that Jen read for us today is the longest miracle story that Luke has. For while nothing is more or difficult for Jesus, he's pointing out that calming the external storms is no big deal. But to calm that internal storm, where we just are at our worst. We picture one here, an individual who's the epitome of what the prophet Isaiah that Sue read for us in describing a terrible situation of a whole people. Now we see it all coming down to one person. And this individual we read in Mark 8 is seized by evil. He doesn't just dally with it. He doesn't just occasionally, he is seized. We can't picture any worse situation. It's just terrible. Look at the passage with me. He's totally lost. He, which is accursed, is spending his time in tombs. He's homeless. But not only is he homeless, not only does he not have family, not only has he not been embraced by society, he's making his home with the dead, which not only has a whole lot of psychological cost, I would assume, but it rendered him unclean before God. You couldn't be around the dead. It made you unclean. So he not only is distanced from all of society, he's now unclean before God. And it's one thing to not have people like you, but to think now I can't even go in God's presence. He is cutting himself. He's just wrecked. He's living with the swine. And no one knows what to do. They've tried. But he keeps busting the chains. And it's another sermon here that I'm not going to take the time for, but it's a wonderful sermon to show that the world can't give us deliverance. It can give us freedom. It can give us permission to do anything and everything we want to do, which it largely has. But it can't take away that inner storm. It can give freedom, the world can. Like this man had a certain level of freedom. He kept breaking his chains. So in one way he wasn't bound, but he was haunted within. And he needed deliverance. I want to point out a couple things. I want to point out, first of all, that while the society didn't want to have anything to do with this man, his family didn't want to have anything to do with this man, Jesus initiated this contact. There's one other time that Jesus initiated the contact. And the first time was when he went and raised the widow's son. He took the initiation there. And I think what we see is our precious Savior, his heart is broken by those that are in the midst of internal storm. All the other miracle stories you normally see, they come to Jesus and ask. But this man who was so racked with his own inner storm, Jesus took the initiative. Look at the words in verse 26. He enters, and then he confronts, and then he destroys. If you'll flip over about three chapters, I want to show you a beautiful, beautiful passage. In Luke 11, in verse 20, Jesus is being criticized. He's being criticized how he's doing his work. And he gives this response, verse 20. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So in other words, he did cast out demons. So the kingdom of God is not something that will come one day. We are in the kingdom. The kingdom is Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, yes, Satan and evil is strong. Yes, being racked with these inner demons, being torn, being in a storm, being ostracized by a family, being set to naught by the community, being considered the lost one. He's saying, yes, that's strong. It's real. The pain hurts. But brothers and sisters, the good news of the message is Jesus Christ is that stronger man. And he defeats that. He destroys Satan. We remember that was prophesied in the garden. We were just hours from blowing it. We had it made, didn't we? Collectively speaking. We were in the Garden of Eden. The only two people who could have said, it's smooth sailing from now on, just blew it away. They fell. They messed it up. And within hours, God Almighty said, let me give you a promise. Your seed one day will crush the head of the one who caused this problem. And we see that happening here. So Jesus doesn't just set this man free. He doesn't just give him temporary release from his restraints. The man could do that himself. He didn't need to be freed. He needed to be liberated from within. And Jesus Christ liberated him. He told him, in me you are competent. In me, you are enough. In me, you have all that you need. And we see, as I close, the five changes that this man happened. The first thing, he was freed from all his evil spirits. That doesn't mean he didn't sin from that point on, but he had true deliverance. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, 1 John 4:4 says, and you need to bank on, greater is he who is in the world. I'm sorry, greater is he that is in you that is in the world. See, I keep proving how incompetent I am. Greater is he that is in you that is in the world. There's a waiter at a restaurant that I frequent, and if I ever get a tattoo, which I can't envision ever happening, I'm going to get the tattoo that this waiter has. And you've probably seen it. And it just is all symbols. But it has symbol for God, then it has the greater than symbol, then it had an arrow going up and an arrow going down. And I asked him once, I said, what does that say? He says, it's a constant reminder that God is greater than all my ups and downs. Brothers and sisters, not just the people at this church have seen me and you at our worst. God Almighty, He knows your worst that we don't know. And aren't you glad we don't know? But God knows it, and God gave His life for you. God figured in your very worst day. God figured in your most sinful habit. God figured in your most terrible time when He said, I love her. I love him. I'm going to die so that they could be mine. He knew that. He knew what He was buying through the precious blood of Christ. So we're free from this evil spirit. Secondly, He was no longer restless. We see, read, He's sitting still. He's sitting, and it implies two things. To be sitting at the feet of Jesus, first of all, it implies He's getting His instruction now from Jesus. Paul talks about in Acts, He sat at the feet of Gamaliel to study. But it also not only implies He's getting instruction from Jesus now, He's adoring Jesus. Remember Mary? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Of course He's adoring Jesus. Jesus did what He'd never been able to do on His own. Jesus did what no one else could do. He brought deliverance to Him. Third thing we see, He's now in His right mind. Several chapters later in Luke 15, we'll see the prodigal son. And before he even got cleaned up, it has the same phrase, he came to his right mind. For he's no longer naked. He has the dignity restored. He's fully clothed. He is fully embraced by the dignity now. And he's sociable. In verse 24 of Luke 15, when it says that they returned, it said that they began to celebrate. And the Greek word there literally means they had a good belly. Meaning the anxiety was gone. The dis-ease was gone. It was that peace that settled upon him. Then he wants to follow Jesus. He wants to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, no, you can't follow me. But I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go home and tell people how good your Father is. I want you to go about and I want you to be a walking, talking witness to the fact that I have the ability to reach out by my own initiation, seeing you at your worst, loving you, and delivering you. It's a beautiful picture. Luke 9 is when Jesus sends the apostles out to preach. What chapter are we reading today?
Eight.
Luke 8. Isn't this beautiful? Even before Jesus sent out his apostles to witness to his power, he sends out this man that all of society and family and himself had written off, to show the power that's in Christ Jesus. No one is too far gone. It's never too late. Brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus, it's still not too late today. This can be your best day ever. And true, it really is. Because yesterday is under the blood. Tomorrow's not here. So may we testify how much Christ can do to the world. That they no longer need to be competent. They just need to fall in love and embrace Christ's competency. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together. using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
All our days we open our lips in praise to you, Lord God. From the moment of our birth, you breathed into us our very life. And in making us your disciples, you breathed your spirit upon us. At the beginning of time, you put into Adam your breath of life. And when your people were bowed low in sin, you put into the mouths of prophets your word of truth. As you gave your prophet Elijah power to raise a widow's son, so you gave your son power to raise up those who had died. And on the third day, you raised from the dead the crucified one in the power of your spirit. And so with all who live and breathe your spirit, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join the unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Ever-giving God, as you transform the widow's small provision in her jar of meal and jug of oil into earthly sustenance by your eternal grace, take these simple ingredients and feed us with the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation. Pour your Holy Spirit that this may be for us the very body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Pour your Spirit upon your church gathered around this table, that we may know your real presence and become your witness. Sanctify this bread and cup, that they may be the body and blood, who at the supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ
is God.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again."
Reviving God, you keep faith forever, raising up the forgotten, restoring the fallen, and remembering the foreigner. Watch over your people who endure through famine and drought. Strengthen all who hunger and thirst for daily provision. Sustain those who are far from home, looking for a way to survive. Lift up any who are bowed low by sighs too deep for words. Uphold children who lack parents to love them or a family to call their own. Be merciful to mourning parents who grieve the loss of a child. Breathe your spirit upon all flesh and bring us to the day when we shall be raised up and made one with you and with one another in Christ Jesus, when tears and sorrow and sighing shall be no more, and there shall be one life, one hope, and one joy shared in you, most Holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. and they celebrated. In Luke 15, all that mattered to the Father is my son, who I had lost, has come back, is home. This man, today, all that mattered to Christ is that this one that was so wrapped in his inner storm was delivered. My father used to sing a song that told us they baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. And it has a line that says, Satan lost a soul and Jesus gained a new right arm. Brothers and sisters, like the one healed in the passage today, Jesus Christ saves you, saves me, gives us his word and sacrament to go forth. And if you go back and look at that passage, it says, and he go forth and tell them about God. And Luke says, and he went forth and told them about Jesus. For Jesus is God. And we all go renewed and strengthened by this meal. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with sincerity and truth, to come and to receive the very body and blood of Christ, that we would be strengthened to proclaim his name until he returns. Amen.
Thank you.
thank you, our Father, that having seen us at our worst, you gave us your very best, your only begotten Son. And now with the psalmist, we thank you for the forgiveness of our sin, the healing of our infirmity, that you know our frame, and that you treat us based not according to our failings and incompetencies, but according to your mercy, secured for us all in Christ Jesus. No wonder we sit at his feet, praise his name, and go forth proclaiming him to the world through that name. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship together, singing our final hymn. Service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.